Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, the 7th of March, 2012. Another very windy and unfortunately dusty day in the Old Pueblo. If you are an allergy sufferer, you certainly have my sympathy today. Hello, I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. We call it The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station and our voice network stations, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we've made it very simple for those of you who are unable to listen to the program live. We have three venues for 24/7, anytime, anywhere in the world. Listening at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, Tucson's online service also has our show available, and tucsoncitizen.com has the Buckmaster Show. And we post the program to those sites about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We have the show up for you. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We lead off the show this afternoon with a Democratic candidate interview in the special election in CD8. We will talk with Ron Barber, former district director for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. 20 minutes past the hour, it's one of the biggest student science and tech fairs in the nation getting underway in Tucson. We will talk with one of the organizers. 30 minutes past the hour, a newsmaker interview with former United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham, who is a contributor, a monthly contributor here to the Buckmaster Show. You are always welcome to join in the conversation. Buckmaster Show listeners at 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We begin now with Ron Barber, and though he is running unopposed in the Democratic primary and has Gabrielle Giffords' endorsement for the seat that she stepped down from in late January, Ron Barber is bracing for a stiff challenge from whoever emerges from the field of four Republican candidates in the special April 17th primary. Ron, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for inviting me to be with you.
So how is this congressional run going for you? You're a guy that never thought you'd get into to actually run for office, right?
That is true. I've told my wife many times over the years. We've been married for 44 years. Actually, we met in high school when we were 15, so it's been even longer than that. I said, Nancy, you never have to worry. I'm not going to run for elective office. And here I am, having to kind of swallow those words. But I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have full family support and if I didn't have my doctor's clearance that I'm more than fit. I feel very energized by the campaign. It's going really, really well. I've been just honored and proud to see the support we've gotten. You know, before I ran, I was approached by many people in our community, Republicans and independents and Democrats alike, after the congresswoman resigned to say, Ron, you should do this. And I said, thank you, and I really have to think about it. And I did with my family and my doctor, and announced about a month ago that I was going to run for this seat.
And the congresswoman asked you, her longtime district director, to run to complete her congressional term in District 8 after she resigned to focus on her recovery from the shooting incident January 8th. Of course, folks know you were also seriously injured that day, taking bullets in the cheek and the groin. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm tackling this with the energy that I've always tackled everything I've done in my life, 100% in, and I'm ready to go. And as I look at what's happened over the last month with the number of people who have come to help us, for example, we had 18 days to gather enough signatures to get on the ballot. We needed 670 signatures. We turned in over 7,100 signatures. To me, that kind of energy, that kind of support has helped me even ramp up more. I feel more energized today than I did a month ago, and I was ready to go when I got in. But I'm really taking a lot of new energy from the people who are coming together to support our campaign.
The Republican side are saying that you would just be a caretaker in office if you were to win. What do you say to the Republicans that are saying that?
I say they're wrong. I've never been a caretaker on any job I've ever tackled. I'm not a placeholder. I'm not a caretaker. I'm ready to go to Washington to be a strong voice for Southern Arizona and to do what I've done all my adult life, which is to try to solve problems. I think people are sick and tired of the gridlock and the bickering and the rhetoric, and I believe they want someone who can bring people together, and that's certainly my goal in this campaign as well as going to Washington.
We're talking with Democrat Ron Barber, who will be moving on from the April 17th primary, because Ron is unopposed on the Democratic side, and he will face either Frank Antonori, Jesse Kelly, Martha McSally, or Dave Sitton in the general election. It's a very compressed election period, Ron Barber. I wasn't going to start with foreign affairs, but you heard that we have a mutual friend in General John Wickham.
Yes, we do.
Who will be talking with us on the Buckmaster Show here at 30 minutes past the hour. And one of my first questions for him will be the situation in Syria and what's going on with Israel and Iran. I mean, if you are elected and go back to Washington, this is going to be a big, big foreign affairs issue.
It will indeed. And I just want to say I'm really proud to have known and worked with General Wickham over the last almost 6 years. And the general is one of my endorsers. He's on board with our campaign and my work to get to Congress. And he is and has been an advisor that I will count on for these kind of issues that you've raised, Syria, Israel, Iran, and so forth. There's no question in my mind that we cannot allow the Iranian government to have nuclear weapons. It would change everything in the Middle East. It would endanger our strongest ally, the only true democracy in the Middle East, which is Israel. And we have to do everything we can to prevent that from happening. As far as Syria is concerned, you know, every situation in the Middle East is unique. Libya was different from the other countries that were under the Arab Spring, if you will. Egypt certainly was different. And I think to be thoughtful and to be careful as we move forward, we need to support people who are trying to rise up against totalitarianism as they are in Syria. But we have to figure out what the steps are. Each case is different. And what we did in Libya or what we did in Egypt, it calls for a different strategy in Syria, but we definitely have to support, and the people of Syria have to know that we support anyone who is trying to bring democracy and take away totalitarian government.
Let's get a few of your thoughts on some of the local issues. The Rosemont Mine issue, I assume, will be a big one in the general election when you go against the winner of the Republican primary.
I think it will be. You know, I've been involved with this issue since 2006. I put together a roundtable for the Congresswoman, then Senator, running for Congress, Congresswoman Giffords, and it was about the Rosemont Mine. And we gathered information from both sides about what was what should be done. Since that time, we've had a lengthy environmental impact study done, and now we have other agencies coming into play. Here's what I think is the central issue. There are a lot of issues with the Rosemont Mine: air pollution, safety on the highway, you know, economic impact, negative economic impact on the tourism in that area. But it really boils down to one important issue, and it's been an important issue for our part of the state on many other concerns, and that is water. How do we get water for a mine that will take a lot of water? How do we make sure that the water is not polluted by mine tailings or sulfur? And this is a concern that we all have to be focused on. The aquifer in Green Valley and underneath Sarita is already depleted, and that is where the water from this mine would have to come from. And there's also been a recent study that said not only would the water be further depleted, but there would be an impact on the aquifer, extensive aquifer problems, as well as water pollution. I think that is an issue that has to be resolved before this mine could go forward, and I'm not certain that it can be resolved to the satisfaction of the citizens who live in that community.
How about jobs? And that will come up, of course, in the general election against your Republican opponent, and they will point to the jobs that Rosemont will create. But jobs generally, that seems to be the big economic issue.
Sure,
jobs
it is
for our community.
I mean, everybody, I think, is mostly concerned about jobs and what happens when people don't have jobs. But to the point about Rosemont, it has been promoted as a job creator, and certainly it would. But there are two economic studies that I think need to be looked at that were done about the economic impact of Rosemont, which have shown that there actually would be a negative impact on jobs if the Rosemont mine went forward. But the issue of jobs generally is huge for us. I believe we have the ability here in Southern Arizona to build on the foundation of bioscience, high tech, and solar jobs, for example, to bring people high-paying, good jobs that are lasting jobs. We also have to make sure we protect our military installations in Fort Huachuca and Davis-Monthan. They are economic drivers as well. And I've worked with the congressman in the past in making sure that we hold on to missions that are there and bring new missions in so those bases can be expanded and provide even more economic growth. Because with the bases and with the fort come jobs in the community as well as on the installations. And that's another area where I think we should, in fact, be looking for more jobs for the community. But one more thing about this, and that is foreclosures. You know, our office was the first in the country, congressional office, to establish a full-time position to work on foreclosures. And with that work, we have saved over 160 homes from foreclosure directly and another 200-plus where we've given people advice and they've followed that advice and been able to save their homes. It's about creating jobs, but it's also about making sure people aren't thrown out of their homes.
And foreclosures are up. I was just reading today in the paper. They're up again.
They are.
So this is, we haven't bottomed out, obviously.
Oh, it's a continuing issue for our community. You know, Arizona typically ranks second or third in the nation with foreclosures. And, you know, when you think about what happens in a foreclosure, it's a dreadful impact on the family. We have one example that I'd like to share with the listeners, and that is a Vietnam veteran came to us for help. He wasn't getting his VA benefits. They were hung up in the system, and he was about to be foreclosed and thrown out of his home. And not only was he a veteran who deserved better, but he also had terminal cancer. This is a situation that was just totally unacceptable, that VA and the banks would be putting this gentleman in this position. We worked to get him his VA benefits. We pushed back on the mortgage lender and said, give him more time. He's still in his home. He's getting his benefits. And that's the right thing to do for veterans and anyone else affected by the foreclosure issue.
Speaking with Ron Barber, he will be unopposed in the April 17th primary on the Democratic side, and then he will go on to face one of four Republicans. If you are elected, Ron Barber, and go back to Washington, is this going to be just to fulfill the congresswoman's term, or would you consider a full term running in the regular election?
I have been asked that many times, certainly since I got into the race for CD8, Congressional District 8. When I got into this, I certainly had no ambitions beyond, you know, fulfilling the term. But I have had to really think hard about it. I've not made a decision about running for the CD2 race. It'll come in due course. I've really been focused on bringing up a campaign organization, getting on the ballot, raising funds to get our message out to the community, and going around the district as I did this last weekend, hitting four different cities to tell people why I'm running and soliciting their help. I have not made a decision about CD2, but I will in due course, and hopefully it won't be too long from now.
Thank you, Ron Barber, for spending a few minutes with us here on The Buckmaster Show. Thanks a lot, Ron.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Ron Barber with us on The Buckmaster Show as we come up now on 1218 on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. We will be back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, 22 on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you for being with us. The Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair is really one of the largest and most successful fairs of its kind in the nation, presenting over 1,600 projects being judged this year, representing 6,000 students from throughout Southern Arizona. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Andrea Owen, Vice Chair of the nonprofit Science and Tech 12, which stands for Science, Engineering, and Technology for Kindergarten through 12th grade. Yes. Andrea, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get involved with Science and Tech 12?
Well, my sons started competing. My youngest one when he was in kindergarten and my oldest when he was in fifth grade. And we've gone since 2000. We started getting involved and my oldest progressed to the high school level. He had won SARSEF several times. My husband and I had mentored him through projects, and my youngest one also, and he went on to the international fair. And when I retired from homeschooling, which I did for 13 years, they decided that maybe retirement wasn't such a good idea and asked me to get involved on the board, which I did last year.
You have done a fantastic job publicizing SARSEF, and SARSEF really is your signature event, Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair.
That's correct.
And that's the big event, 57th year for this.
Yes.
And that's coming up now next week and open to the public.
Yes. It starts on Monday. Monday around noon, the kids will start coming in, bringing their projects for setup. That goes until 8 o'clock at night. Tuesday, we start very early in the morning. The judges arrive, and judging is done all day on Tuesday. The elementary school children are not do not have an oral judging. They just have the regular judging. Junior high has an optional judging, and high school has mandatory oral judging in the afternoon. So it's a really long day for the judging. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's open to the public. And our big signature event of the fair is next Wednesday, our Future Innovators Night. Runs from 5:30 to 8. It's open to the public. Parking is free, care of Cox Communications. And we're going to have just...
At
the Tucson Convention Center in the exhibit hall, we're going to be having companies from the area bring hands-on interactive science displays. We're going to have a great scavenger hunt for the kids, and we have some really great door prizes. And
Andrea, would this be a good opportunity for some of the kids and their parents who have not been involved to come and learn about this?
Absolutely. It's a great time for them to come down, look at the project, learn about the scientific process, just get some hands-on experience with science and make it less intimidating for the kids. A lot of kids think that math and science can be very intimidating, but it's a lot of fun. Gets them excited about science and possibly pursuing that as a career. And that's what we're really interested in.
Some great awards.
Yes. We're going to be giving about $200,000 out in cash, awards, scholarships, special prizes, and of course the big awards are the trips, the all-expense-paid trips to the International Science and Engineering Fair. And that's held by Intel and Society for Science and the Public every year. And that will be held in May. This year it will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and that runs for an entire week. And there are there are kids from more than 57 countries and thousands of projects there and millions of dollars of awards given away and scholarships and prizes.
Andrea Owen is with us. We're talking about science and tech 12, science, engineering, and technology, K through 12. Their big event at the Tucson Convention Center next week. It is open to the public, families, a great opportunity to come out, introduce the kids to science. And unfortunately, the United States still lags behind other areas in science.
Yes. We've always been at the forefront of research, and we still do produce more scientific papers than any other country. Unfortunately, we are lagging behind countries like China and Asian countries that are producing just a huge number of engineers, scientists, mathematicians, and those are the jobs that are going unfilled in the United States. And so the United States is having to look elsewhere and outside our country to fulfill these jobs, and that's becoming a big problem. And economically, if people want to find jobs, they need to be going into these high-tech areas. So we're here to promote that and get kids excited about that and being able to pursue those careers and really looking at that as an option for them.
57th year for the big event for SARSEF. Is there indication that the kids who have taken part in these events do better in science in school?
Yes, they do, and they're very motivated to do so. I know my kids, it has really solidified what they've wanted to do. My oldest is getting ready to graduate from University of Arizona, electrical engineering, focusing on that. My youngest one has been very involved. He's been competing at the international level, and he's very interested in science and engineering. Now, most of our kids do go on into science and engineering or medicine. We have MDs. We have PhDs. Some of them have gone into business, but they pointed back at SARSEF and the experience that they have gotten there with really giving them success in their field and really learning how to put things together, communicate, critically think, and be successful in whatever field that they're going into.
The Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair is a huge deal for many, many adults and kids in our community. It takes, what, a small army to put this event on, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. We have our board. Of course, our board is very dedicated. We have between 15 and 20 board members, and then we have advisory board members. And we all volunteer. And we have about 300 volunteer judges that will come down and look at the projects, and that all has to be done in one day on Tuesday. And they will look at those projects, and they will award special prizes for a variety of different companies in the Tucson area, the U of A, Raytheon, TEP, just a myriad of companies that come down and support us, including Air Force and the Navy and Intel. And that all has to be done in one day and the entire week, and we have to get all the judging done, all the places secured, all the awards written out, all the certificates printed,
Oh, gosh.
Of that distributed by Friday night. Yes.
Andrea Owen, thank you very much. Third annual Future Innovators Night. That might be a good chance for the public to really check it out. Wednesday, March 14th, 5:30 to 8 p.m. in the exhibit hall at the TCC. So the young scientists are going to be all over the place at the TCC next week. Andrea, thank you very much.
Good luck
to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We always look forward to talking with General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, to get his views on all of these late-breaking developments over in the Middle East. Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show. That's next.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Barack Obama is calling for incentives to develop more fuel-efficient cars. During a visit to North Carolina today, he's been emphasizing a top energy initiative amid rising gasoline prices in a re-election battle. Mitt Romney is acknowledging that there's no way of knowing just yet how his tax plan will affect the federal budget deficit. Romney is scoffing at outside groups who have said his plan to lower marginal tax rates would increase the deficit. As expected, Apple is unveiling a new iPad model. New features include a sharper screen and a faster processor. Apple says the new display will be even sharper than the high-definition television set that sits in your living room. And Peyton Manning is not expected to be unemployed for very long. A half dozen or so NFL teams are expected to be interested in signing the quarterback. He was released today by the Indianapolis Colts. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
the RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back. 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. And support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta pushed back today against fresh demands for United States military involvement in Syria to end President Assad's deadly crackdown on his own people. Among those calling for U.S. airstrikes, Senator John McCain. We're going to talk more about this with Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and UN Combined Forces from 1972 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley, and we always look forward to talking with General Wickham once a month on the Buckmaster Show. General, how are you today?
Doing fine, Bill. Thank you very much for the kind introduction. I'm honored, as usual, to be on your fine program.
So many things to talk about over the next half an hour, and let's begin now with Syria. Were you surprised that Senator McCain was urging U.S. airstrikes against that country?
Yes, I am surprised. I have the highest respect for John McCain, but I think he's out of touch with reality by offering this idea that we ought to start bombing and creating through bombing some artificial independent zones. He should know better than that. All the bombing is going to do is kill Syrians, civilians, as well as the Syrian military, because the Syrian military is going to go in to the villages and towns, and if we're going to bomb them there, guess what? We're going to be killing civilians, and that was the problem we found in Libya to a degree. So I'm really surprised at that. The more appropriate way to go is to get the Arabs to be involved. There was a wonderful interview with Zygmunt Brzezinski on Farid Zakaria's CNN program on Sunday when Zbig was saying that the best way to go here is for Turkey and Saudi Arabia, for example, to come up with their initiatives to deal with the crisis there, and then we can support them but not take the lead. And one idea that has occurred to me is we could give drone aircraft to Turkey and to Saudi Arabia and let them fly the drones, drones that can detect Syrian artillery, and then drones that carry weapons that can knock out that artillery that is ranging down on Homs and other places and killing civilians. In other words, you're sort of creating a artillery-free zone, not a no-fly zone, but an artillery-free zone. And the Arabs would be doing that. The drones, you know, Bill, you've read about this. Drones are commercially available now.
Uh-huh.
So there's no reason why Turkey and Saudi Arabia could not have them and be using them and be helping out that way. But I don't think the way John McCain is suggesting that we need to get involved with airstrikes makes any sense at all, my humble opinion.
General Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. President Assad, General Wickham, I believe he has a large, very well-equipped and disciplined army. Who's paying most of the bills here? Is this Iranian sanctions coming from Iran right to Syria?
You're exactly right, Bill. Bashar Assad has got one of the largest armies in the Middle East. It's over 400,000, well-trained, well-equipped. They have aircraft, fighter jet aircraft, helicopters, artillery, as we know. And a lot of the funding is coming from Iran. Iran is a very close ally of Syria, and Iran does not want to see Syria go down the tube. So that's a problem for us. But also, the Soviet Union has been selling weapons, including aircraft, to Syria in exchange for a variety of benefits, including perhaps oil. So there are outside sources that are helping, and that's unfortunate. And quite in contrast to Libya, where you had a broken-up military that was not necessarily loyal to Gaddafi, in Syria you have a very cohesive military that appears, by and large, to be supportive of Assad, and large because Assad and his Alawite community, this tribal community, has been giving very good benefits to the military and to other elites that support him. So it's quite different than Libya. But meanwhile, unfortunately, there are innocent civilians being killed, and there's going to be more of it. And I think the horror of all of that has got to compel the Arab nations to become cohesive and figure out better ways than standing by and twisting their thumbs about what ought to be done.
And, of course, all of this comes at a time when so many of us, I'm very concerned about what may await us with the Iranian, ultimately what is going to happen with Iran. I know you're worried, too.
It's probably the most dangerous thing that the globe faces right now is what's going on in with Iran. Iran, a nation of 90-some-odd million people, historically very powerful, very influential. The Iranians believe that they are the masters of the Middle East, have been historically and want to be again. And they are, I believe, avidly pursuing the creation of a nuclear weapons capability. There was an article on the internet today by German scientists who believe that the Iranians actually tested a nuclear weapon in North Korea back in 2010. No proof of that, but we do know that the North Koreans did set off several nuclear weapons, all very small. They could have had one that was created by the Iranians. In any event, it looks like Iran is pursuing this kind of capability. They see Israel that's got over 200 nuclear weapons. They see Pakistan that's got 200-plus nuclear weapons and is making more of them. And so one can argue that the Iranian leadership, seeing the Arab Spring of leading to upheaval of nations and overthrow of leadership, would be quite anxious to acquire that kind of a capability, which is sort of an ace in the hole of protection. And I think it's going to be extremely difficult to persuade the Iranian leadership and even the North Korean leadership to ever give up those nuclear weapons. Does that mean we have to live with them? No. I think the president has said we cannot live with them because of the snowball effect that would occur in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia leadership, the king, has already said that if we discover Iran having a weapon, we will get one within a week. And they'll get one because they'll buy it from Pakistan. And there will be other nations. Not inconceivable that Iraq would want to get one. Also, they fought a war with Iran and lost almost 1 million people in that war. So there's a lot of enmity that could grow out of Iran having a nuclear weapon. And I think we've got to hope that the Israelis don't undertake an independent, sovereign attack, which Netanyahu and others have said, we reserve the right to do that and we'll never tell you about it before we do it. And I think that would plunge the Middle East, if not the globe, into a very serious situation.
General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show. And before we take the break, I want to stay with this subject. You're a lifelong military man, and I know that there are military analysts who are are very concerned, probably having sleepless nights about what the United States' response would be if Israel does move on its own to take out the suspected nuclear facilities.
Well, if Israel does that, then my guess is that they will. And I think some of the senators on the Senate Armed Services Committee have said as much in today's internet. If Israel does something like that, there's clearly going to be a reaction by Iran, and that reaction could be trying to close the Strait of Hormuz, interdicting oil, which is going to drive the price of oil to three times what it is now, probably. So I think the U.S. would try to take some action to prevent that from happening. If there were to be a retaliatory strike against Israel, I think the U.S., because of its obligations to protect Israel, would do what we can to protect Israel. So I think we're prepared to do that. There are contingency plans. But let me throw something out, Bill, that no one has talked about at all.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And that would be, how would Russia react to all of this? How would the Chinese react to a strike by even the United States or Israel against Iran that they have been supporting? Suppose Russia and or the Chinese or both said, you struck that friend of ours, we are going to threaten you. And what will we do about that?
Oh, boy, that...
It raises the ante considerably. And I think we have to keep in the back of our mind that Russia and China are not sitting by innocent bystanders. They are going to react in a very arrogant and angry way about military action against Iran.
General Wickham, stay with us. We'll have more. We're going to take a listen now to the Buckmaster Show of fine sponsors. These are the people who make this daily program possible. When we return, we'll be talking, get the opinion of General Wickham on the latest North Korean nuclear deal, that and more when we continue.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
$12.50 on the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, is a monthly guest to this program. General Wickham, we have a call on the Buckmaster Show. Richard would like to speak with you, and Richard is asking a question, General Wickham, that I think a lot of people are about the impact of an attack on Iran and our economy. Go ahead, Richard.
Thank you, Bill. Great show, sir. You know, we're already paying, it seems to me, a premium on gasoline psychologically because of this incessant bullying of Iran. Is it worth the destruction of the U.S. economy to bomb Iran?
Go ahead, General.
That's a very good question, Richard, and it's on the minds of a lot of people. The greater threat for our future would be that if Iran does acquire nuclear weapons and threatens instability in the Middle East, the price of oil would go up because of that kind of a threat. Also, it means that other countries in the Middle East, because of the snowball effect, are going to have nuclear weapons. As I mentioned earlier, Saudi Arabia, the king, has already said that if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, we will within a week. And there will be other countries in the Middle East around there, perhaps to include Egypt, that will acquire nuclear weapons. And in the hands of radical regimes, it could be close to terrorists getting weapons. And if we think that the price of oil is high now, with nuclear weapons on the ascendant in the Middle East, the price of oil is going to go through the overhead. So it is imperative, I believe, that we prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, and that we prevent other countries in the Middle East from acquiring them, and that will put a lid to a degree on gasoline prices. The king of Saudi Arabia has already said publicly that they will pump more oil to keep the price down if there is stability in the region. If there's instability, pumping more oil is not going to help. I hope this helps.
It's a good question from Richard. General Wickham, let's turn now to North Korea. Does it look like UN nuclear inspectors will be allowed back into the country?
Yes, Bill. North Korea, you followed that very closely, and one of your former friends is over there with the agency, news agency.
Steve Herman,
wonderful guy.
Longtime friend of mine, worked together many, many years ago. He's the Voice of America correspondent in Seoul, South Korea.
He writes, he sends terrific stuff. But in any event, you're exactly right. The scene, as you know, Bill, of North Korea, the whole Korean Peninsula, has been a scene of North Korean provocations followed by North Korean retreat from those provocations, and then broken promises by them in exchange for food aid and other things. So the history is there, and they're going to be doing it again probably. So we need to be very cautious. The Japanese have said that. State Department has said that, Hillary Clinton. And yet, on the other hand, I think we need to be optimistic that something good can come out of what's happening. The North Koreans have promised that they will be willing to let the UN inspectors in to examine the shutting down of their enrichment facility at Yongbyon, which is their main one. There are other facilities in North Korea that they have not let opened to foreign inspectors, but perhaps that will occur. By the North Koreans allowing that to start again, they are complying with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty that they signed. And I think one of the more significant opportunities here is that by the North Koreans showing that we can do this and we are willing to do it, the Iranians, which also have signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, may be willing, therefore, to move with more moderate pace to opening up their own facilities. In fact, matter of fact, I think the Iranians have just allowed the UN inspectors to come in to examine a military facility near the Caspian Sea that has never before been examined by UN inspectors. The six-party talks with Europeans looks like they're about to get started again. Now, maybe it'll be no results, but maybe it'll be optimistic results. So I think out of the North Korean movement, there may be some promise for some progress.
General Wickham is with us, and General Wickham, I want to get your quick comment here. I've only got about 4 minutes left, but you follow certainly military affairs, the Navy and the Marines to start random alcohol tests. As you well know, the Army and the Air Force do not have policies on breath tests, and as I recall in your career, didn't you not allow liquor on base in some of the posts that you served on?
You're right, Bill. When I commanded the 101st Airborne Division, because of the fatalities on the roads due to DWI, we stopped happy hours at the officers and NCO clubs. And we didn't have breathalyzer tests, but the MPs did when they apprehended people. And guess what? As a result of that, a very tough crackdown on the abuse of alcohol, the insurance rates dropped precipitously at Fort Campbell. And everybody was amazed at the benefits. The fatality rates were cut in half. The two states of Tennessee and Kentucky adopted the same tough policies. When I was a commander in Korea, we did the same things to the benefit of the Korean people and to the U.S. military. I tried to do more of that when I was head of the Army. And I think that we've got to move with full speed ahead, the way apparently now the Air Force is doing, with trying to reduce abuse of substances such as alcohol.
Do you think it will impact as the Marines and the Navy try these tests? I guess there'll be a lot of grumbling, but in the long run, it is a benefit.
There's a lot of grumbling. There's going to be a lot of benefit. The bigger issue that's going to face us as a nation is going to be, what should we do about drugs like marijuana? Should we legalize that kind of stuff? What we're finding now, that the marijuana that is coming from Mexico is so enriched due to better agricultural techniques that it is 25 to 50% more potent than the standard marijuana, and therefore, according to doctors, it is almost instantly addictive, particularly to 13 and 14-year-olds who are very susceptible. If we legalize marijuana, as it occurs in 16 states in the United States due to medical use of marijuana, if we go whole hog and legalize it on the theory that it'll reduce our prison populations and it's going to save us a boatload of money, we're likely to lead ourselves into an addictive situation that will really break our backs.
Only got about a minute with you, General Wickham. The Department of, we really don't have much time to touch on this, but I know you're keeping a close eye on that DOD, the Department of Defense budget.
DOD budget on the Panetta is we're going to cut $500 billion over the next 10 years. That is mandated by the congressional action to reduce the deficit. And still, the defense spending after that $500 billion is down will still be larger than we spent in 2007. Pretty healthy budget. We will be spending more than the next 20 nations in the world combined will be spending on defense.
General Wickham, it's always a pleasure. Did this windy, dusty weather keep you from going out and doing your daily mountain biking or your bike ride?
No, Bill. I just came back in from 10 miles. Thank you very much, good friend, and God bless you. Doing a wonderful program. I just had my dentist yesterday tell me he's listening to your program. I don't know when he does it and work on patients, but he listens.
Wonderful. General Wickham, my best to your lovely wife, Anne.
God bless.
Thanks a lot. Bye. General John Wickham, once a month with us on the Buckmaster Show. Always a pleasure. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. If you are looking for a CPA, I cannot strongly recommend enough Michael C. Flowers. He has really got it together, and who doesn't need a CPA this time of year, tax season? That's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will do it again tomorrow, Thursday, noon to 1 on KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.